So do continue to pray. This morning, if you remember, 4 weeks ago, if you're around, I spoke on the topic of knowing God. And if you're not around, don't worry. You can listen to the recording from our website of that Sunday. And I talked about three, if you remember, I don't know if you remember, but I talked about three categories of people in relation to knowing God. How many of you remember that? Come on. Anybody remembers that? Hello? Anybody remembers? Can somebody shout? Sorry? Better remind you. Oh, okay. Don't say us, Jackie. You're generalizing. There may be some who know it. Okay. Now, I just do this exercise to keep you awake, you know. I know it's the heat and all. It's easy to doze off. So, the first category of people, those who know of God, okay? And knowing of God is the stage or the state where somebody else, you heard from somebody else about God, of God, and so you know of, you've heard of this God. And the second category of people are those who know about God, okay? It's a stage where you've taken a step forward to explore further about this God that you've heard of from the scriptures or from teaching and preaching of other people. And you've decided to put your faith in this God or rely on this God because you've realized that the gods and goddesses you were pursuing, the things that you were pursuing, were not really God. They were just idols or just a temporary stuff that had no eternal value. And the third category of people are those who know God. These are people who have known God, who are walking with God, who are knowing God, who are putting their trust in God, come what may. Now, as I did mention that it is an ongoing process. Knowing God is an ongoing process. Why? Because you cannot fully know God. Because the day you say that you fully know God, whoever that God is, he is not God anymore. You understand? Are you with me? So you know God. It's an ongoing process. You pursue him through all life's circumstances. And we want to know him more. Like Paul, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection. And it's this knowing is not just the intellectual knowing, but it's also experiential, where I'm experiencing God's presence through the power of his Spirit daily in my life as I live my life in this world with all the challenges around me. It is important for me to clarify again. I think that there's no harm in saying it or stating this again and again because of the times and the days we live in. It is important that the God I'm talking about is the God of the Bible, okay? The God of the Judeo-Christian faith. The God who is triune, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The God who created the universe and formed man in his own image and likeness. The God whom we call Heavenly Father, our Abba Father. The God who became man in Jesus Christ and who lived, who died, and who rose again from the grave. The God who now dwells in and you, in me and in you, those who trust in him through the power of his Spirit. The God who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The God who is involved in the life of his people to bring about his kingdom. Are you with me? And I could go on and on about this God. But let me add one more truth. That Jesus is the only way. Can you hear me? Jesus is the only way. There is no other way to the Father, Jesus said. Jesus is the only way to this God. He's the only way to this God that we worship, that we adore, and we honor. Please don't be fooled by all kinds of philosophies and teachings that you hear from here and there. Jesus alone is the way, the truth, and the life. Because Jesus didn't say that I am a way. He said, I am the truth. I am the way. I am the life. So no one can come to the Father without me. Now this morning, I just referring from As I alluded to you last time when I spoke about from this book, J.I. Packer's book, Knowing God, I would really encourage and recommend you to read. It's a great book, a great book written on the subject of knowing God. Now, I want to show you four characteristics of men and women who pursued God, okay? Or how do those who know their God look like? Or what are the marks of those who know their God? Now, if you're pursuing the God of the Bible, as I said, to know Him and to experience Him in your daily life, then it'll have to be a life-transforming. It will have a life-transforming impact in the way you speak, in the way you act, in the way you'll conduct your life. You with me? The transforming takes place not because of mere intellectual knowledge and not because of some experience. It takes place because you choose to put your trust upon this God. Are you with me? Are you with me? People can have some intellectual understanding of this God. Some people may have some experience. But the reason that you learn to know this God, the reason you want to pursue this God, is because you know that He alone is worthy to be trusted. Are you with me? Okay. Now let me share a few marks of those whose lives are transformed by the knowledge and their trust in this God. Now, Packer uses the life of Daniel and his three friends as we read in the book of Daniel. And that's another thing I will recommend, that you read the book of Daniel. Just as for in the New Testament, you read Revelation. I encourage you to read the last book of the New Testament, or the Bible, rather, Revelation. In the same way, I will encourage you to read Daniel. Many times we are put off because of all the imagery, the prophetic words that we don't understand. But read. There's much more than that. Okay, now, one of the distinct marks of a person who knows and trusts God is that they have great thoughts of God. Are you with me? They have great thoughts of God. Now, what does that mean? What does it mean that they have great thoughts of God? That means the more you know God through His Word, and through the experiences that because you put your trust in Him, and your view of Him, your understanding of Him expands. Are you with me? Your mind will be filled with great thoughts of God. The more you know Him, the more understanding you get. And you can see the difference. And when you meet people who have really walked with God, you will know. They have a very different understanding about God than those who just have a very fresh walk and knowledge of God. Are you with me? Okay. Now, you know, because it's true with relationships, isn't it? Generally, the more you know a person, the more you understand about that person. Isn't that true? The more you, and you can talk about those of you who are married or you know, the more you live with this person, the more you understand the ins and outs of this person, what their personality, their character, what they stand for or what they fall for, whatever it is, you get to understand this person only because you have learned to live with this person. You've learned to understand this person because you've decided to know this person. You've decided to commit your life to this person. You get to know this person. And the more you know a person, the more you learn to appreciate. The more you learn to appreciate that person, if it is someone you love and respect, then your love for this person, your respect for this person increases. Isn't that right? Okay. But it is important to clarify that when it comes to knowing God, okay, we cannot know God like we know man. Are you with me? Okay. We cannot understand God like we understand, because God is not our equal. Are you with me? God is not our equal. Therefore, the good news is that our relationship with God, in our relationship with God, and in our pursuit of knowing God, the good news is that God takes the responsibility to reveal Himself to us as we pursue Him. Are you with me? He takes the responsibility upon Himself to reveal Himself. That makes life easy, isn't it? The only thing He's asking is to come to Me, taste and see. But God is offering Himself. God is putting Himself forward. God is saying the creator of the universe. I don't know if it baffles your mind. It just makes me go crazy. I don't understand this God. His God wants us to know him. He puts himself for us to know him. Hallelujah indeed. In the book of Daniel, we find that even though the people of God are in exile under this great Babylonian empire and the superpower of that era, God reveals himself to his people. You know, that God, he shows them. If you read the book of Daniel, you say, God is showing, revealing himself. God is showing them. God is truly the King of kings. And he is truly the Lord of lords. It is God who actually rules the universe. It is God who is the author of history. It is God. It is about him. It is his story. God, he's the one who knows the end from the beginning. He unfolds his purposes through these tyrants. Through these empires, he uses them to unfold his purposes for his people and to eventually bring his kingdom. He is always victorious. Amen. We may look around and see all the things that is happening, and it may sometimes depress us and, oh, look at the world where the society is going. Can I tell you the good news? The end is all good for those who love the Lord. The end is victory, church. The end is victory. It may seem we are losing the battle. No, the battle is won already. God reveals his purposes through dreams and visions to the rulers, the Babylonian rulers, and through the interpretation of these dreams and visions through Daniel and his friends, God makes these great rulers bow down and come down and become humble and acknowledge that God, the God of Daniel, the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, God, you alone are God. I cannot start narrating all the stories. You just pick up Daniel and read, you'll see how God brings these emperors on their knee. And one of them goes and becomes a wild animal. If you read Daniel, you'll see. And in the end, he acknowledges, yes, the God of Daniel is the God alone. He's a supreme God. And these great thoughts of God gave Daniel and his friends the confidence to face the furnace of fire and the pit of the and the lion's den. In Daniel chapter 2, I'm just quoting a few scriptures, Daniel and what they thought about this God. Daniel chapter 2, 19-22, we read Daniel's praise when God reveals Nebuchadnezzar, this cruel ruler who wanted to kill all the wise men in the land because they couldn't tell his dream and interpret it. But God, in his mercy, reveals the dream and the interpretation to Daniel, his prophet. And he says, Daniel says, during the night, the mystery was revealed to Daniel in a vision. Then Daniel, you okay? Who's that? Okay, everybody all right? Then Daniel praised the God of heaven and said, praise be to the name of God forever and ever. Wisdom and power are his. You know, we may not understand. We sing these words. You know, it doesn't make sense sometimes for us. But for them, it made sense. For them, in living in exile, they knew exactly what they were singing. Do you understand? Wisdom and power are his. He changes times and seasons. He deposes kings and raises up others. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to the discerning. He reveals deep and hidden things. He knows what lies in darkness, and light dwells with him. In Daniel chapter 9, we read, I prayed to the Lord, my God, and confessed, Lord, the great and awesome God who keeps his covenant and love with those who love him and keeps his commandments. The Lord, you are righteous, but this day we are covered with shame. The people of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem and all Israel, both near and far, in all the countries where you have scattered us because of our unfaithfulness to you. The Lord our God is merciful and forgiving to bring the disaster on us. For the Lord our God is righteous in everything he does, yet we have not obeyed him. These were the thoughts that Daniel and his four friends had. These were the thoughts that governed their minds and their hearts. These were the thoughts that helped them to move forward. They were overwhelmed and humbled by the knowledge of their God's holiness, his might, his faithfulness, that they were willing to obey him even at the risk of their life. Hallelujah. What are our thoughts about God? What do we think about God of the Bible? That is a test of how well we know this God. What do we think about this God? You know, I like what A.W. Tozer says, writes, what comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us. What comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us. Let me finish this point by saying that one of the tests to know what you think about God is to check or assess your personal prayer, your worship, and also what you tell others about your God. Especially when you're going through suffering and pain. You know what? That is the most difficult time to acknowledge who our God is. Because most of the time, including me, we have said, why God? Because I don't understand his ways. Why did you do this? You promised. Why did you do this? Does it resonate with anyone else? Or is it just me? We've all been through that, isn't it? People, those who know God are those who are on the journey of knowing God. Their understanding of God expands. And my prayer is that our understanding expands, that we are not limited in our understanding of who God is. You know why? Because God is willing to reveal himself to you and me. Hallelujah. Secondly, now the second mark of a person who know their God, according to the book of Daniel, is that they have great zeal for God. Are you with me? Come on, somebody say, great thoughts of God. Those of you sleeping. Great thoughts of God. Great zeal for God. You know, great thoughts of God will and must lead to great zeal for God. Are you with me? If you have great thoughts about somebody, if you take the parties or political parties, if you really believe in their vision, what will you? You will be very zealous to work for them. And I'm not going to talk about whether labor or conservative. Let's not talk about politics. But whoever you put your trust in, if you believe in something, you will not be able to contain your zeal. Am I right? So the more you know this God, the more greater your understanding about this God, the more wide and vast your understanding about this God, the more zealous you will be. And we find that in the lives of Daniel and his friend. If you know your God and if you trust him, then you will not only have great thoughts for this God, but you will display great zeal and great energy for your God. In Daniel 11:32, we read that, but the people who know their God shall stand firm and take action. Are you with me? But the people who know their God shall stand firm and take action. Now, this is written in the context of what evil or wicked people were doing at that time. They were defiling God's name. But those who know God are not, those who really know God, those whose understanding of God has expanded, cannot stand and watch. Instead, what will they do? They will stand firm in their conviction and their knowledge of God, and then they take action. And in some translation, it says they will do exploits. Those people who know their God shall stand firm and do exploits. Daniel and his friends were men who knew God and who felt compelled from time to time to actively stand out against the evil and ungodliness of their time. They were zealous for the Lord. These men, at the risk of getting killed, choose not to defile themselves with the rich food that was offered to them. Instead, they were willing to eat just greens. These men, they chose to be thrown into the fire. They chose to be thrown into the lion's den rather than bow down to the idol of the king. Daniel chose to carry on in his daily prayer against the decree of the king, that no one should pray. The king had declared that no one should pray to any other god but him. But you know what Daniel does? Daniel chooses to continue his daily prayer. Not only that he chooses to continue his daily prayer, but he opens the window for the whole world to see that he is indeed praying to the God that he worships and he knows. It is not just the men in the Bible who displayed such great zeal for their God. But if you look through the history, look to the first century church, there were men and women who demonstrated great zeal throughout their life. And they stood for their conviction and for their belief and their trust in God. You know, I can think of many such men and women, but one man whose zeal for his God challenges me the most is a man called William Carey. I'm sure many of you have heard of him. William Carey, who left the shores of England and went to serve the people of India in 1700s. At the cost of all his children's, hear me, at the cost of all his children's death and the sanity of his own wife. Are you with me? He had to bury his children with his own hands because nobody will come to help him. The locals will not come and help him because they were afraid that this man is going to convert us with this foreign God. Are you with me? He had to dig the grave. He had to bury his own children. In spite of the humiliation and rejection, Carey fought against many social evils prevalent in India at that time. He chose to serve those whom the society considered untouchable and outcast. Are you with me? He fought for the rights of women who were being burned alive on the funeral pyre of their husbands. Now, you may not have the opportunity to go out there and do some exploits like William Carey or Hudson Taylor. But you know, you can do one thing. You can pray. You can show zeal in prayer. You can express your zeal in prayer. Show your zeal for your God. You know, how zealous you are. It can be seen through your prayer life. Does your heart break with the things that breaks God's heart? Does your heart ask yourself when you pray? Ask yourself when you're praying, when you're interested. Does your heart break with the things that breaks God's heart? If it does break your heart, then you're really on the journey of knowing God, and it's really your knowledge, understanding of God is expanding. How zealous are we for our God? How is our prayer life? I'm not asking just you, I'm asking myself. I need to ask myself, how zealous I am. The things that breaks the heart of God breaks my heart? Or am I cold and complacent? Am I too comfortable? You know, Pacorini's book says, men who know their God are before anything else men who pray. Are you with me? Men who know their God are before anything else men who pray. And the first point where their zeal and energy for God's glory come to expression is in their prayers. We can all pray about the ungodliness and apostasy which we see in everyday life all around us. If, however, there is in us little energy for such prayer and little consequent practice of it, this is a sure sign that as yet we scarcely know our God. Packer is saying that if you really don't have the zeal to pray for the ungodliness that is going around it, the brokenness of this world, if you really don't have the heart to pray, if you're so complacent, if you're the only thing you can think of is your own need, your own problems, When you come before the Lord, then you really don't know the God you're worshiping. You really don't know Him. Finally, not finally, sorry to disappoint. People who know their God not only live with great thought of God and display great zeal for God, but they also show great boldness for God. And we see this godly boldness displayed in the lives of Daniel and his friends. They were willing to lay down their lives for the honor and the glory of their God. They were not intimidated by the threats of great rulers of Babylon, because they know who their God is. Do we know who our God is, church? Do we really know? It was this knowledge of God that gave them the strength to stand firm. And in Proverbs 29, 25 says, fear of man will prove to be a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is kept safe. You with me? Psalm 31, 24, be strong and take heart, all you hope in the Lord. Psalm 125, 1, those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be shaken, but endures forever. Those who know this God, those who know the God of the Bible, will never be shaken, but endure forever. Those who know their God will have great boldness and endurance. You know, we read this boldness and endurance for God in the life of the first century saints, as Mahin alluded to earlier. Paul, who was persecuting the church. Stephen, who got stoned to death. They were showing great boldness, great courage and endurance as the follower of Jesus Christ. And this morning, as I shared this pastor, this man of God, Pastor Shrevan, and the church, it takes a lot of courage and a lot of endurance to when they've been said no, not to meet, and but still meet and be taken to the prison. It takes a lot of boldness and courage. And I can guarantee that Indian prisons are not comfortable. And not only that, they will be taken into prison, they will get beaten up for no reason. I can guarantee that. And for them to go into the prison willingly and get beaten up and being abused, and get abused, it takes boldness. It takes courage. And I don't think we will understand living here. But I'm not saying that we should ask for suffering. But do we know our God? That's what matters. Do I really know my God? Do we have the boldness and the endurance to stand firm and stand out for our God? This is yet another test of to know whether we really know this God that we worship. And finally, you can take a deep breath and I can have a sip of water. Those who know their God not only have great thoughts of God, what was the second one? Not only that, they have great zeal for God, third one. Not only that, they have great boldness for God, but they also have great contentment in God. Are you with me? You know, I know many who may express great thoughts for God. There may be many who express great zeal and even great boldness for God, yet quite often fail in showing great contentment in God. Are you with me? Okay. Now let me clarify one thing. I'm not saying we are all perfect. Okay, we are all on a journey. We are learning to know God. We are pursuing this God. We don't fully understand. So yes, on our journey, we sometimes fall. But by His grace, we stand again and we continue pursuing Him. So please don't feel condemned if it is kind of a question that is touching you or challenging you. Yes, let it challenge us. But please don't feel condemned, because there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let it challenge us. Let it push us to know this God. So those who have known and experienced God will have such great contentment in God that even if they do not receive what they were promised, and even if their prayer for breakthroughs or for healing are not answered by God, They will still continue to trust this God and live for him for the rest of their life. Are you with me? Hallelujah. In Hebrews chapter 11, which is also known or called as the Hall of Faith, we read about many men and women who knew their God, it says. They knew their God. They by faith, they followed this God. But what really challenges me is there are a few verses in that chapter, verses 11 to 13 to 16, and verses 39 and 4. Let me read that to you. This is what it says. All these people were still living by faith when they died. Are you with me? They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance, admitting that they were foreigners and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country that they had left, they would have had opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed. This is wonderful. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. Hallelujah. Isn't our God wonderful? He is not ashamed to call himself your God if you truly pursue him. If you're really pursuing to understand him and to know him, he's not ashamed of you. There are moments we are ashamed to call ourselves Christians, isn't there? There are moments we don't want anybody to know that we are Christians. But our God is not ashamed of us. These were all commended in verse 39 for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. Since God had planned something better for us, that only together with us would they be made perfect. These people were found great contentment in their God. Are you with me? These people found great contentment. Come on, shout it out. Great contentment in God. Come on, somebody say that. Great contentment in God. What was the first one? Great thoughts of God, great zeal for God, great boldness for God, and great contentment in God. We see great contentment in God displayed by Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego as they stood their ground in face of Nebuchadnezzar's ultimatum. You know, his ultimatum when he said in chapter 3, verse 6, he says, whoever does not fall down and worship will immediately be thrown into the blazing furnace. And the response of these three men was, what was that? In chapter 3, King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing fire, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it. Amen. This was their confidence. And he will deliver us from your majesty's hand. They said it in a very, very polite way. But I knew you will understand when you read further that the king understood that it was hitting at him. That I don't care what these guys are saying. We don't care what you do to us, King. We're not going to bow down to the golden image of yours. Because you know what? Even if you throw us in this furnace, we have a God who is greater than you, mightier than you, who rules the universe, who will bring you down one day, who is more than conquerors. He will deliver us from you, mighty King. We're not afraid of you. I think if you or I were there, we would have been really upset, isn't it? God, you promised me. If I live for you, you will protect me. You will save me. You will deliver me. You know, you will take me out of this situation. Look at me, Lord. I'm still in this situation. I'm not, please don't get me. I'm not mocking. I'm just saying this is the reality of our lives quite often that we say, Lord, you promised, isn't it? Lord, you said you will heal me. How dare, Lord? You know, sometimes even though we don't say that word, quite often our attitude, how dare, Lord? You didn't provide for me. How dare, Lord? I've given you so many of my years to serving you. I've given you so many of my children. I've given them to you to serve you. But now when I have a need, you're not providing. When I need healing, you're not giving me. But listen to what these men said to Nebuchadnezzar in verse 18. And a bit I'm paraphrasing. Hey, king, by the way, just for you to know that, even if our God does not save us from this fire, we want you to know, King, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of God you have set up. Hey, listen, King. You know what? Our God is able to save us. But you know what? Let me add something else. That even if he chooses not to save us, even if he allows us to be burned in this fire, glory be to God, because still we will not bow down to you. It doesn't matter. It makes no difference. Live or die. They were content in their God. Are you with me? They were content in their God. The depth of our contentment is another test of whether we really know God. Whether our understanding of God is deep or wide enough. Do we really desire such knowledge of God? Are you with me this morning? Do we really have great thoughts of God? Or are our understanding of God widening? Or is it just stayed as we were 10 years ago? Are we in that place that where we're not really grown? We are still there as we were 10 years ago, 20 years ago? Or has it widened? Has our understanding about God widened? Do we know him differently than we knew him 10 years ago? Or 5 years ago, 1 year ago? Do we really desire to know him more? Do we really hunger and thirst for him? Because he has offered himself to know him. If the answer is negative, then we are merely trying to survive in our Christian life. But God is calling us to know him and know him intimately. Taste and see that the Lord is good. And he promised us to reveal himself to us as we long and desire to know him. So the mark of someone, a man or a woman who knows God, or who on a journey of knowing God, who are pursuing to know God, is that they have great thoughts. Come on, church, before you sleep. They have great thoughts of God, great zeal for God, great boldness for God, and finally, great contentment in the Lord. And the next 5 points, shall we stand together?